I am going to weave my way through many a winding path before I reach the gospel at the end of my sermon, so bear with me. A land of saints and scholars. That's how Ireland was described to us recently. After mine and Richard's recent holiday there, I would add that as well as saints and scholars, a land of extraordinary beauty. We were in County Kerry, where there was also an abundance of fertile grazing for dairy herds. I realised that that butter is not called Kerry Gold for nothing. Beauty was in the fields, the mountains, the rivers, and the coast, but it was also in the culture left by those saints and scholars, the monks of the early Middle Ages. The intricate artistry shown in the Book of Kells with its curling lines, its illustrations of the four gospel writers, and in the margins, peacocks, otters, colour and pattern decorating its pages. But just as beautiful was a small chapel in the remote curve of a bay on the Dingle Peninsula. The Gallarus Oratory, a small stone building, may have been built in the 8th century. Others say it was more likely to be the 10th or 11th century, so somewhere between that. It somehow seemed to be soaked in the prayers of those who had lived and worked and prayed there. It had just two openings, a simple doorway set in the western end and a small window facing east. And when we reached it in the early evening, as the sea mist which had dogged us all day rolled away, the sun poured through the doorway, lighting up the simple interior. It was one of those moments where heaven and earth meet. But alongside the enclosure where the oratory was would have been another enclosure where the monks lived and worked, where meals were prepared and eaten, where manual work was undertaken, farming, repairing, making, writing, teaching, hospitality, and resting. And again, I find something deeply attractive about that balanced life. Balance is something so many of us look for in this life at the moment, where work seems to take precedence over everything. That monastic rhythm of prayer and work, of food and hospitality, and I think it speaks to us today. And it all dates back to those men and women of the 4th and 5th centuries who themselves had been inspired by the people we know as the desert fathers and mothers. Those men and women who went out into the Egyptian desert, sought God through a strange combination of both solitude and community, giving up secular life of the world but not rejecting it. Their lives became so compelling and so attractive that they became a model for the whole tradition of convents, abbeys, monasteries. We could say it even spread here to Abingdon. But from the 3rd century onwards, these monks and mothers and fathers, these holy men and women, went to the desert in order to find God. And in doing so, they found God and they found themselves. In finding God, they found themselves, yes? It's the same as looking into ourselves, becoming more self-aware, and finding that God is already there with us. That prayer which we sometimes say before receiving communion reminds us of this, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. That intimacy of relationship is ours. And the ideals of the desert monastic life had reached the west coast of Ireland sometime between the 4th and 5th centuries, precisely the time and location of the Gallarus Oratory. But desert in Ireland? Well, not a desert as we understand it, but it can be remote. It faces into the wild Atlantic, buffeted by storm and sea. This early monastic wisdom to see the relationship of our spiritual lives and our concrete lives is vital. Our spiritual lives are not something to be tended to separately, like a sort of box, you know, that you put on the side and you attend to it with an occasional spa day, coming to church on Sunday, a walk in the woods. I even Googled retreats. Well, you could go on a hydrotherapy retreat, a yoga, art, wellness, knitting, crafting, men's retreats. Spiritual retreats, which when I investigated them a little bit further, were not actually about seeking God. But you can go on those sorts of retreats, of course. And I know that the chance to step aside and experience rest and renewal is desperately needed. And God can reveal himself to individuals whenever we make the space. Rowan Williams, one-time Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote a book called Silence and Honey Cakes, and that reminds us of that early monastic teaching. And he says that the desert fathers and mothers said it was impossible to think about contemplation or meditation or spiritual life in the abstract. Our spiritual lives cannot be divorced from the rest of our lives, however messy, anxious, or unpromising they might seem. Our spiritual lives are like a thread, sometimes tangled and knotted, but still running through everything and intimately known and loved by God. So what am I trying to say? I think the nub of it all is that our spiritual lives and our concrete lives are lived together, plaited like a rope. God is always where we are, engaged in what we're doing, even when we cannot see him. And if that's true, and that comes very clearly through those desert fathers and mothers, then we can live something of the monastery very simply in our homes. Now, I've written a little about this in The Window Parish Magazine, which is out today, so do read it. And read all the other brilliant articles as well as mine. It's about making our spiritual lives concrete within our homes. For sure, we enjoy celebrating and decorating for Christmas and perhaps Easter. But what about some of the other seasons and saints' days? Lighting the right colour candle at dinner, the right colour tablecloth maybe, a flower on the table, discovering more about the saint of the day, a menu choice even that fits the story of the day, small ways by which we can have fun and enjoy the rhythm of the church year, and inviting others to join us for a meal or a coffee, by sharing ourselves as people willing to listen, to encourage, to support. That's also monastic hospitality. So I said I would get to the gospel eventually, and I've wound my way through Ireland's beauty and a small stone chapel where monks once prayed and where the Easter Eucharist is still celebrated. A short detour into a book about the 4th and 5th century desert spirituality, and right up to the present in ways in which we might bring something of that desert or Celtic spirituality into our homes. By this meandering route, we arrive to find that our gospel, readings, and psalm all celebrate the way in which God's word finds fertile soil where it can take root and grow to maturity. And it's not about the soil that we saw in Ireland or we see around here. It's us as soil. Those desert fathers proved to be good soil by which God's word flourished and spread. Their lives of prayer and labour entwined together, which might inspire us as well. Because whether our lives feel like rocky ground, full of thistles and thorns, or whether we feel we're in a lush and fertile plain, we are still the soil in which his word is planted, the soil where God's word can flourish. And in spite of our shortcomings and our irritating ways, it is beautiful. And God is there. Amen. Thank you.